Welcome. I'm Grayson Wilson. This is the Victory Life Ministries, and we're live right now talking about today pride and humility. Thank you for everyone that's hopping on. If you would like this, share this, send this out, send this to somebody that you think's in pride, and this will correct them. Just a little soft, like indirect rebuke. Have you ever seen those church Chad videos where he's like, hey man, can I talk to you for a second? And he like pulls him aside and goes, I saw that you went to the Halloween movie last night. You know, how does your conscience feel about that, man? And like, and all like the rebukes from church Chad, where church Chad pulls you aside and rebukes you. You have the opportunity to be church Chad today and to rebuke somebody with this sermon. But this is going to help you. It doesn't matter how humble you actually are, even in the eyes of God. This message will help you, because pride and humility is talked about throughout the entirety of the Bible. And it's talked about in terms of pride being something that sends you to hell, of course, but pride being something that casts you down to the ground, being something that causes God to oppose you, God to resist you, and causing you to miss the only source of power that you have on the earth. Pride is a deadly, deadly poison, and humility is a prized possession. Humility is like the master key to receiving the grace of God. Humility places you in a position where the grace of God and the anointing of God can come upon you. You can't be anointed and become anointed by God in pride. The only way to become anointed is to humble yourself before God. And humility and pride have different definitions in their truth, the truth of their definition, compared to what Americans would say pride and humility is. Pride is not confidence. If you believe the Bible and you have revelation of the scriptures, you will have unwavering confidence. The Bible says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. So you'll be insanely bold, supernaturally bold, and supernaturally confident if you're humble, honestly. So, and if you have the scriptures in you. But if you're, so if somebody tells you that because you're extremely confident and you start seeing things that from the scriptures and how a righteous man's supposed to live versus like what you're seeing in church or what you've seen growing up, then and people start to tell you that you have pride, then understand, it might not be that you have pride. It might just be that they've never seen somebody that actually has confident revelation of the scripture before. So it took me a long time as a Christian to figure out what pride actually was. So pride and humility have different definitions than what people would think, actually. The definition of pride and the definition of humility is this. Pride is an improper view of yourself in light of the scriptures. The scripture is the word of God. The scripture is the truth of God, and the spirit of truth reveals to you the truth of God. And so, as long as your view of yourself aligns with God's view of yourself, you're actually perfectly in humility. But if you view yourself in a way that's not accurate or in alignment with the scriptures, then you're actually in pride. And once you're in pride, you fall in an area where God resists you. So you could be in pride because of a heart issue, or you could also be in pride because of a lack of revelation of the scriptures, because of ignorance. For example, an example of being in pride is if you don't view yourself as a child of God with God's DNA in you, in the class of God that carries dominion on the earth, and you view yourself as a sinner, but you're a Christian, you're in pride. Because you refuse to align yourself with what God says that you are. If you view yourself as somebody who is subject to whatever happens in the life, rather than somebody that carries dominion on the earth with your faith, then you're in pride. Because you don't view yourself in alignment with the scriptures. The Word of God gives you your identity as a Christian. The Word of God shows you what is the truth concerning yourself. And to not align with that truth is pride. Because you're saying that your belief is more accurate and true than what God's word says and the things that God says. That's why unbelief is a sin, because it makes God out to be a liar. So that's why the Bible says that the sin of the world is this, their unbelief in me. The main sin, the sin that sends people to hell, is not believing God, believe it or not. So whenever you don't believe the word of God about what it says about you, then you're aligning yourself with the sin that sends everybody to hell, which is a sobering thought. So it's kind of funny, you know, the things that people think are sins versus the roots of sins are like actually shockingly different than what you would think. Because, you know, the Bible says that that the love of money is the root of all evil. So if you think about it, who steals something unless it's a money issue? Who robs a bank unless it has to do with money? All stealing has to do with the love of money. So notice all the sins, like in the Bible, they have a traceable roots, which is interesting. Like adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lust, pornography, masturbation. All of those have to do with the root of adultery, and which is the root of lust. So if you don't, if there's the root of the love of money, and then there's the root of like adultery and sexual sin. So they're actually, it's funny, like the roots of things, like you wouldn't think covetousness or like little things like, man, there's one that's escaping me. But like the roots of things are interesting. So it's interesting that pride is the thing that caused Satan to be cast out of heaven. And it's interesting that unbelief is such a wicked sin. You know, because people in America view it as like it's nothing. People like literally fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is belief in what the devil will bring to your life. And so fear is like is a sin. The Bible says that anything that does not come from faith is a sin. So and if the sin of the world is their unbelief in God, then unbelief is a terrible sin. It's a sin that like ought to be done away with, because all unbelief comes from not believing the word of God. All belief is rooted in belief that God's word isn't trustworthy, that God isn't a trustworthy person. All unbelief is rooted in viewing God as a liar and viewing the devil as somebody to be trusted, which is exactly what the devil slipped into the Garden of Eden. And it's all connected to pride. So pride is one of those roots that has a great effect on the spirit of a human being. And whenever you're in pride, not only does God resist you, but your spirit doesn't work right. You know, the human being, like the human person, can literally be viewed kind of like a computer. God, a computer is created by a creator, and that creator knows how it operates, and to the users of the computer, he gives a manual that kind of outlines how it works, outlines how much storage it has, outlines what software can be put in there, outlines the power source, all these different things in a computer, and the majority of people do not maximize the capacity of a computer. I would say 99% of iPhone and computer users don't maximize the capacity of that thing. That's why David Oyedepo says about human beings that it remains to be seen in heaven the true capacity of a human being. Because humans are created in the image of God. Humans are created in the class of God. There's that verse in Psalm 82 where it says, "You are gods." He says, but because... Here, let's go to it. It's either Psalm 82 or Psalm 87. I didn't mean to talk about this, but this has been in my spirit a lot, so it kind of comes out. Verse 5. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So are you a child of the Most High? Yes. The child of a God is a God. So you, it's literally the law of life that like begets light, or like begets like. It's the law of life, which is if you're a human being, you create human beings. If you're a dog, you create dogs. So if you're born of God, that means that you're born of God's seed, that you're born of the Spirit. The Bible says that Spirit gives birth to Spirit in John 3. So you're born of God, which means you're born in the class of God. That's the reason you're able to have a dominion. That's the reason you're expected to use your words to create things. That's the reason why you're expected to rule and reign on the earth, because God rules and reigns. And he's given us dominion over the earth. He's given us something to rule and reign over. But this verse says, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? Because they did not know nor understand, and they walked around in darkness. So what I'm saying is, to tie it back, is the human being is a vessel, or almost like a computer, that has a capacity for function that is only maximize whenever you get knowledge and understanding of the way that it works. If you have knowledge and understanding of all the facets of a computer, then you can maximize its capacity. Well, God's given you revelation truth that you can know and understand about how a human being works, about how a human being's spirit works, about how a human being's soul and mind works, about how a human being's body works. That's why that verse says godliness is profitable for all things. It says physical training is profitable for some, but godliness is profitable for all things. So it even said, it acknowledges that there are things that you could do for your body, like physical training. But there are things that you could do for your spirit. And so pride actually disrupts the way that your spirit operates, because pride hardens your heart and it disconnects you from the life of God. So go to Isaiah 14. Verse 12 through 15, where we're going to talk about exactly what pride will do. But I'll say one more thing about this. Pride, this is very interesting. Pride turns God against you. Pride causes God to resist you. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so many Christians are binding the devil and cursing the devil and trying to speak against the resistance of the devil, but the resistance they're feeling is actually coming from God, which is crazy to think about. You know, there's only one person that exists that has unconditional love for you and support, and that person is God. So how terrible is it to turn the one person that's on your side against you because of your pride? Pride is a deadly, deadly thing. Pride is the thing that caused the fall of man. That the incredible dethronement of man that took place in the Garden of Eden took place because of pride. The incredible dethronement of Satan took place because of pride. So go to Isaiah 14, where this talks about how Satan fell from heaven. And the goal of this message today is for you to know what pride is, for you to know what humility is, so that you could guarantee that your vessel is always in humility, which means that you're perpetually positioned to receive grace and anointing from God. Literally, you can position yourself where you're always available to receive the anointing of God. The anointing is the grace of God. The grace of God is God's empowerment towards you. So we live in the dispensation of grace, where everything that we receive from God, and everything that we do on the earth in taking dominion over the things of the earth, is by grace through faith. So everything that you do in dominion and in reigning as kings and priests on the earth is done by faith, or by grace. And that grace is accessed through faith. So humility is the thing that positions you to receive that grace. And that grace is the anointing. Because grace is the empowerment of God. And Jesus said, wait until you receive power from on high. So God poured out his grace by anointing them with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power of God. So the anointing is the grace of God. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 says this. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. So Satan, it got in his heart a desire to be exalted above God. He desired to become God. But he wasn't made to be God. He was created to serve God. And so he viewed himself improperly in the light of his identity. He had an improper view of his identity. His inward understanding was deceived. He became iniquity. And the devil is the father of iniquity. And so whenever you dwell in sin, the devil becomes your father. Because your father is iniquity. Sin, and when man died, sin entered into his heart, and his spirit became dark. His spirit became twisted. And so you are who you are in your spirit. Your spirit is who you are. So in the spirit, man was a son of the devil. The devil became the god of this world. We received the nature of the devil on the inside of us when we sinned and fell from God. And our spirit became iniquity. The Bible describes this. If you go to 2 Corinthians 6, let's see here. The second part of 2 Corinthians 6. This is an interesting verse. Sorry, I thought about a joke I can't say. Okay. Verse 14 says this. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. So, if you notice, it's describing, Paul's indirectly describing things that Christians are and non-believers are. Because he says, what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And then he says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. So, he's literally describing things that believers are and things that non-believers are. Believers are righteous. Believers are light. Because it says, you are the light of this world. Believers are Christ because Christ has been duplicated into them. They are Christ on the earth. And believers are the temple of God. But notice that what it says about unbelievers. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness or iniquity? So you become iniquity. You become the nature of the devil whenever you yield to the devil and whenever you operate in pride. So pride in the heart of the devil caused the devil to fall from his high place. And in the same way, Genesis 3, Adam and Eve fell because of pride. The devil sowed pride in their heart and they believed that they could become like God to the point where they wouldn't need God anymore. And because of that, it caused man to be dethroned from his place of dominion. So pride always comes with a fall. And pride will wreck your relationships. Proverbs 13:10, it says, by pride comes nothing but strife. So anytime that strife exists in a conversation, it exists because one or both people have pride. Strife can't be present unless pride is present. And so pride comes with consequences. Number one is this. Pride hardens your heart and destroys your spirit's sensitivity. So your spirit is the thing that you hear from God with, and it's the thing that you like that everything operates with. The Bible says that the spirit of a man can sustain him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can dwell or who can bear? So whenever your spirit is right, but your body is off, your spirit has the power to sustain your body. But whenever your spirit is crushed and your body's healthy, it will dry up your bones. It will suck the life out of your body. So the moment that Adam and Eve died, they died in their spirit. They lost their source, their source of power, and it was only a matter of time before their body died because of the death in the spirit. So your spirit is the foundation of your being. The spiritual realm is the foundation of the natural realm. The supernatural is the foundation of the natural. So when you die, when your spirit hardens, your source of life hardens, the foundation of your life hardens, it's only a matter of time until you die, which is crazy to think about. So pride and sin always bring death. So number one, pride hardens your heart and it destroys your spirit's sensitivity. Your ability to be guided by God goes away. You don't have any guidance. You can't hear the voice of God. However far you go in the things of God, it stops the moment that you enter into pride. Number two, pride opens the door to a fall. Go to Proverbs 16, 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So notice pride gets into your spirit. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Wow. So pride will open the door for you to fall. Pride always brings demotion. And then number three, pride brings God's resistance. James 4, 6, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So the grace of God is God's empowerment behind you, pushing you forward. But the opposition of God is God in front of you, holding you and keeping you from progressing forward. You know, one thing that's interesting about pride and humility is it affects the way that you treat people too. Because it'll affect your relationships, but it affects mentorship. It affects your relationship with pastors. You know, because the Bible describes that the fivefold ministers are literally the priests on the earth for today. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are human beings that God's anointed for those offices to represent him on the earth and to build up his church into the fullness of the stature of Christ. So it's literally their job to teach you things that will enable you to go further faster than you would ever and to go places you would never have been able to reach in the spirit if it wasn't for them. But they're human beings. And one thing that you find that one of the reasons pride will kill you and will destroy your destiny is because pride keeps you from receiving how you ought to receive. I don't know how much I've talked about this on live streams, but like I talk about it with my team all the time about how you receive the anointing, about how you listen to people that are anointed, about things like that, because there are people out there that are anointed with an anointing that's literally meant for their generation. Like David, he said, "Let me not pass away until I've declared your mighty power and works to my generation." So when those people are around you, they're not ordinary people. They're not just every other dude. They're not replaceable. They're irreplaceable people, number one. And number two, they're given by God for your generation, to get something into your generation. An impartation. They carry something in their spirit that is so valuable that it's going to affect an entire generation. That their existence on the earth, their whole purpose on the earth, is to get that thing from heaven into everybody. But yet in America, people treat these people like they're ordinary people. Or they'll treat them like soulishly. Like they'll listen to them and be like, "Ah, that sounds like a good idea." Like, "Oh, you know, the things he said, I'll put some thought into that today." Or, "Oh, man, you know, he preached for 3 hours today. I really wanted to get home. Like, can you believe how long he closed the message?" It's like, what are you talking about? You know, if you say that, then go find another church. I'm defending Pastor Jonathan Hardy because it's bullcrap. And people like Dr. Rodney. You know, Dr. Rodney's messages are 4 hours long. You know, Dr. Rodney also carries the greatest anointing for joy that's probably ever existed on the earth, or at least top five that's ever existed. You know, there are entire books of Christian history that are devoted to the things that God's empowered him to do. Every single Christian every Christian history book has a chapter for him, a whole chapter devoted to his ministry and life. And there are people that comment on how long his sermons go. Pride takes the gift of God and naturalizes it and makes it common. And the moment that you do that is the moment where you can no longer receive anything valuable from that minister until you view them properly again. That's why the Bible says, once we viewed Christ after the flesh, but now we do so no longer. So pride causes you to become natural-minded and causes you to view people after the flesh. And one thing that you'll find with a lot of Christians in America is they identify themselves with and identify with things that they're not supposed to identify with. Instead of identifying with who they are in the scripture, like you're a spiritual person. You're a spiritual man or woman of God. You're called to be a spiritual person. You exercise dominion by the light that you see from the scriptures in your spirit and through your mouth and through getting the mind of Christ and thinking like God. And you're acting by faith and carrying a spirit of faith and having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Like the spiritual revelation you have determines the dominion you have on the earth. You're a spiritual being. So when you identify with the fact like that you're in the class of God, that God's DNA dwells inside of you, that you trample on snakes and scorpions, that everywhere that you go, you're an agent that drives out sickness and disease out of the bodies of people because of your dominion power. Like when you operate like that, you operate in the biblical identity of what you're called to be in Christ, who you already are as a redeemed child of God, then you see things spiritually and you see other people spiritually and you receive from them properly. But there are many Christians that identify with their wildest, weirdest Holy Ghost experience. Like, oh, I remember the first time I went to the river. Fire like a lightning came from heaven. I looked up and I saw a lightning bolt come out of a star and it hit me and I was out for 6 hours. And like, but then they're one of the most carnal people you'll ever meet. And whenever you're around them, they're completely soulish and they talk about their feelings and they act like a prophetic weirdo. Makes you have like zero desire to be around them. Because they don't identify with their identity in Christ. They identify with some weird spiritual experience that they had. Which, good for them. There are plenty of churches where you can go find company. I don't know what God thinks about those churches, but they do exist. So pride causes you to view men of God as ordinary people that kills your ability to receive from them. Jesus had the anointing without limit, without measure, unlimited anointing. And he went to his hometown and they said, is this not the carpenter's kid? Isn't this that guy that would make chairs and desks? Even when he was 28, he was still making chairs and desks at 28 years old. Isn't it that guy? Comes to his hometown with unlimited anointing. And it says he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Crazy. So when you receive from a man of God, the proper way to receive is to number one, recognize what they carry. You go to church to receive the word of God, that the insights that they have that has produced. Okay, you go for two reasons, main reasons. Number one, to catch the insights that they have that have produced the fruits and dominions that they display in their ministry. You don't go because of how nice the church is. You don't go for how nice he is. You don't go to church for some carnal reason or just because you're friends with the pastor. You go to church because that person carry something that you need, that you're called to plug into that branch of the body of Christ, that you're that branch that's supposed to plug in that area, like your spiritual heritage that you're called to be with and to flow in. And so you go to receive insights into the Word of God and understanding into the Word that's supernatural from the Holy Spirit that they have, that's produced the fruit and miracles and anointing that they have. And number two, to catch their spirit that's in their words and to align yourself with their spirit. You can't view a man of God as just some ordinary person. Their words carry their spirit, and their words carry the anointing. That one of the number one ways, I would say there's two huge ways to catch the anointing. Number one is literally by listening to preaching of an anointed person. Because when you listen to somebody's preaching, you become like them if you listen properly. Because when you listen to like to be like them. You listen to figure out what is it that this person has that produces this anointing. Because the anointing is the oil from heaven that flows through a human vessel, like a water bottle. Like if a water bottle has different sizes. Different vessels have different sizes, and they pour oil different ways. And so you are a vessel of the Holy Spirit that pours the oil of the Holy Spirit out into the earth. And so some vessels have greater capacity for oil. And those are people that carry higher levels of the anointing. And even those people, though, they differ. They have large capacity, similarity in their large capacity, but there's differences in the way that they pour the oil. So if you want to catch somebody's anointing, you have to become the same vessel. And the vessel is in their words, because their words reveal the vessel. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you could figure out what's in a person's heart and what's in a person's spirit by listening to them speak. And so when you listen to men of God, you receive what they say into you. You immediately like hearken unto it. Like, okay, oh, that's what he thinks about this. That's how he views this. This is what he does. This is how he gives. This is how he prophesies. This is how he reads the Bible. This is how he prays. Like, this is what he believes for. And so then you immediately try to do things the same way that they do it. That's how you listen and hearken unto to the words that men of God speak. It's not ordinary. You're seeking to like become like their vessel so that you could carry the anointing in the same way. Because until your vessel is the same as their vessel, the anointing won't flow through you in the same way. And so the quickest way to catch the same anointing that somebody has is to become like their vessel. Because some people, it's like they come in with like a 2 ounce like shot glass trying to receive oil from like a 1 gallon dispensary. Like Dr. Paul Aniche with his 1 gallon oil dispensary is pouring into your little 2 ounce shot glass. And then you think that because he prays for you, you're going to catch the anointing on his life. It's not how that works. You could spend like 2 years becoming like him and his capacity and just praying and all that stuff. Becoming the same capacity, becoming the same vessel, having listened to his messages for 3 years, then have him pray for you one time, and the oil that's on him transfers into you via the laying on of hands, and that's all you need is one prayer. David Oyedepo went to Kenneth Hagin one time to Tulsa, Oklahoma, wasn't even close to him. He said that he said he'd read through his books for like 10 years. He said there were some books that he'd literally, like the pages were falling out because of how many times he'd read the book. That's receiving the words of a man of God. Goes to Tulsa, Oklahoma, sees Kenneth Hagin preaching, and in the middle of it, all of a sudden, he sees Kenneth Hagin's face transfigured, sees all the glory of God on Kenneth Hagin, saw his face like in all of the glory that's in his spirit. And it cut him to his spirit, and he started crying like uncontrollably. And he said, God spoke to him, and he said, the baton has been passed over to you. Talking about the preaching of the Word of Faith message, because he'd been ordained by God with the commission saying, now is the hour for the world to be liberated from all oppressions of the devil through the preaching of the Word of Faith. So he had that similar commission and found somebody that had actualized it, And he'd read his books for years. He never laid hands on David Oyedepo. Yet David Oyedepo shows more resemblance of Kenneth Hagin's ministry and his anointing and spirit than any other people, even people that served in Kenneth Hagin's ministry for 20 years. All because he truly received from him as a man of God. But yet other people, it's funny, people view Kenneth Hagin like as if like he's just an, like there were people that viewed him like an ordinary dude. Like, hey, you know, let's go to his church. It's 10 minutes down the road. He's like the best guy in town. Like, talk about completely being brain dead to spiritual things. So pride and humility are very evident in how you receive from ministers. Many people go around like as if they're just like collecting things from different ministers via the laying on of hands. Like, oh yeah, you know, Dr. Paul Aniche laid hands on me, whose hands were laid on by David Oyedepo, who Enoch Adeboye laid hands on, who Benson Idahosa laid hands on, who T.L. Osborne laid hands on. Like, it's like, and they talk about who laid hands on them, but there's zero evidence and fruit of any impartation. So who cares? Who cares? So pride and humility are keys for how you receive, for how you learn spiritual things. Because here, I'll say one more thing. Until the fruit of that man of God is evident in your life, you haven't caught the impartation. And another thing, too, is God deems whether the person will receive the impartation. God deems it. Because God's the one that determines if the Spirit will flow upon that person onto your vessel. Not the human being. And so if you aren't humble, then you don't get to receive the promotion that comes from that impartation. So pride brings God's resistance. Now humility brings God's grace and anointing upon your life. Like I said earlier, the grace of God is the anointing of God, or the anointing is the grace. Grace flows in a lot of different ways. It's God's overall empowerment upon you. That's accessed by faith. But the anointing is part of that grace. Go to James 4, verse 6. And then we'll go to 1 Peter 5. Verse 6, James 4, 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And then 1 Peter 5, this one's really good. Verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So humility places yourself under the hand of God. That's important. Humility positions you. Many things that don't work in the life of people is because they are not properly positioned in the Spirit. Sowing by faith in response to God positions you in a place for a harvest. Humility positions yourself to be exalted and promoted, and to receive grace that causes that exaltation and promotion. Humility positions yourself to receive the anointing. And the hand of God is what the Bible describes as literally God's action or power. Like when God does something, He'll do it with his hand, or he'll send his word, or he'll do it by his spirit. Excuse me. But whenever you humble yourself, you're placing yourself under God's hand, which means at the precise time, you're right there under his hand, and the moment that God's ready, all he has to do is go, boom. That's it. But pride positions you to be resisted by God, saying, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So God cares for you. He wants you to rule and reign on the earth. He has a place of dominion for you. All you have to do is humble yourself until God positions you in that place of dominion. Many people don't realize how much receiving is required to get to the place where God has for them to get to. It's a whole life of serving and receiving. People want to serve just for like a couple years to like qualify before God to get the anointing and then never serve again. You serve your whole life. You'll serve for eternity in heaven. Serving will take place. You will serve God for eternity in heaven. So you have to always live humble. You have to always live receiving from other people. You'll never get to a point where you're not in the posture of receiving something. Even if you're the top bishop of all bishops in the world, you still receive from the Holy Spirit. And the only reason you got there is because you were willing to receive. To be taught, to find revelation that another man of God has received that you don't have yet, and to sit under his ministry. Even Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., he says that if you want to operate in the gift of the Spirit, then you have to sit under the ministry of somebody that has that gift of the Spirit. And the oil will flow from them to you. So humility positions you under the mighty hand of God that leads to the anointing. And we'll close with this. Go to Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, or another translation says humility of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So it literally tells you what mind to have. It tells you exactly what needs to be in your mind. And, of course, in your spirit. So he says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ also, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So even though he was God and had all the rights that God has to literally be worshipped and to reign, he didn't consider it robbery or something to take for himself, but made himself of no reputation. So Jesus didn't care about his reputation. He actually made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. He gave up his glory to operate by the glory of the Spirit. He came fully as a man, yet fully like God. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So he became obedient to death. He humbled himself under death, the consequence of sin. And it says this, therefore, so because he humbled himself, what happened? God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So because he humbled himself to the lowest point, he then qualified to receive the highest promotion that you could possibly receive and was given the name that's above every other name. So you can't humble yourself before God without being promoted. It's impossible for you to humble yourself properly and not be promoted. Even Jesus humbled himself to the lowest degree, and God found a way for him to be promoted to the highest position. I hope this helped you today. All it takes is to humble yourself before God to get out of any situation. If you're stuck, many times, likely, you're stuck because you haven't received something you're supposed to receive. Humility positions you properly. Go humble yourself to the point where you only consider revelation that you have to be revelation if it's proved by fruit. There's different ways to humble yourself. One of them is to go back to the first commitment you made to God, to reconsecrate yourself before God. Say, God, the only thing I care about is just serving you and doing whatever pleases you. That's a big one. Another way to humble yourself is to examine yourself and say, what do I have genuine proof of? And unless you have two genuine proofs of a testimony, of a revelation, then you don't have revelation of that thing. For example, for me, for years, like I would pray for people to be healed, and there would be people that would get healed. But I never had a word of knowledge. I wouldn't say that any of them were miracles. And I know the Bible says that in the name of Jesus that you could lay your hands on the sick and the sick would recover. So I'm like, okay, I don't know if that's a gift of the Spirit. That could just be by the name of Jesus. So for years, I wouldn't say that I flowed in the gifts of the Spirit. Other people would talk about times that they flowed in the gifts. I wouldn't say anything because I didn't have evidence, in my opinion, two times evidence that I flowed in the gifts of the Spirit. So unless you have two evidences of something, like two supernatural testimonies in a short enough amount of time that you are receiving harvest from seeds that you've sowed, two testimonies that you flow in the word of knowledge, two examples consistently where you to show, okay, I'm consistently flowing in this gift, then how can you say that you have revelation of that gift or revelation of that in the Bible? Because the Bible says that he establishes his word through two or three testimonies. So one way to humble yourself is to evaluate, what am I actually producing fruit in? And only the things that you're actually producing fruit in can you say that you have revelation of, including even your character. Am I living free from sin? Where am I successful at? If you humble yourself back to that point, then any area of deception from the devil, because you deceive yourself whenever you view yourself more highly than you ought to. The Bible says, do not look at yourself more highly than you ought, but view yourself with sober judgment. So have a sober view of yourself. It keeps you from deceiving yourself, because what you'll find is when you humble yourself to just what you have proof of revelation on, and you receive the areas that you don't have revelation on, like it's the first time you've ever heard them, and like you don't really know, but you're looking to learn, you'll actually find that you didn't have revelation of things that you thought you had revelation on, and that was the reason why you were stuck. So humility is actually the key to moving forward. I'm going to pray for you. If you feel stuck in your life, if you feel like you've been pushing forward really hard in the flesh to move forward in the things of God or to move forward in your destiny, but no matter how hard you push, what effort you push with, you can't move forward. Those are signs that you ought to humble yourself before God. And I'm going to pray for you that God would help you, that he would pour out the spirit of humility upon you. The spirit of humility that will help you, give you the power to humble yourself properly. There was a time in my life where I was like, no matter what I did, I could not move forward. And the situation I was in, it was just a brutal spot. I don't know how to put it. So I told God, I said, there were three times actually where I went to God and I said, God, I don't care I don't care. Like, I knew I was called to be an evangelist, all this stuff. I don't care if you ever make me into an evangelist. I don't care, like, if I, like, what you have for me to do. All I care about is just serving you in the church and pleasing you. And so I humbled myself more, like, as much as I could the first time. But then I felt about a week or two later that I hadn't, that there was more. So I humbled myself even lower a second time, like a whole night where I would, where I sat in the presence of God, seeking God and humbling myself. And then a third time I humbled myself as low, even lower, like as low as I possibly could humble myself in the sight of God. And that third time, this is a big testimony in my life, is that third time I sensed in the spirit, like I sensed that God was pleased with me. Literally. I feel the anointing on it, even talking about it. I sensed that I had humbled myself sufficiently in the eyes of God. Literally. Like God revealed it to me in the spirit before it was ever manifested in the natural. Like I sensed from the Holy Spirit that I had sufficiently humbled myself and that all I had to do was wait in that position and soon God would promote me. And so I just continued on knowing that I was right with God, that God was pleased with me. And at that point, there were people that like that were many people that had differing views about me. But it didn't matter because I knew because I'd gotten it right with God. So then I continued on and all of a sudden like the wind of God started coming behind me. And God started causing me to succeed like financially. He was causing me to succeed spiritually. I started like accelerating fast. And like everything started going well for me because I humbled myself properly in the eyes of God, like really low. And And so when you do that, God sees it. And you'll sense in the spirit if you've humbled yourself properly. And since then, now that I have the revelation on it, I can always have a spiritual gauge on myself of whether or not I'm in pride or whether or not I'm in humility. And it becomes easy. You can guarantee that you're always in humility, like sensing where you're at. So God's going to get you into that today, because when you're in that, it keeps you from ever being opposed by God. It actually guarantees that you're always in the perfect position to be promoted by God and to never ending like accelerate like a rocket. So right now, I'm going to pray for you. But first, before I do, if you aren't saved, if you're watching this and you're convicted, because maybe you've had pride in your heart, maybe you've never humbled yourself before God and never given your life to Jesus. It takes humility to receive Jesus in the blood of Jesus as the sacrifice and payment for your sins. It takes humility to acknowledge that you have sin and to acknowledge that if you didn't have Jesus, that you'd go to hell. If that's you and you want to get right with God, then right now I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. All you need to do is pray to God and ask Him to forgive you. And I'm going to lead you in that prayer. And you got to pray this from your heart to God. And if you mean business with God, then God means business with you. So pray this prayer after me. Say, Father, today I humble myself before you and I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I receive the blood of Jesus to forgive as the forgiveness of my sins. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe that he rose from the dead and I believe that he's alive today. Jesus is now Lord of my life and I give my life to him and I repent of all my sins. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me power to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're saved, you're going to heaven, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to my website where I'm going to give you two free books to help you in your walk with God. It's the website's thevictorylifeministries.com, and if you click I just got saved, then I'm going to send you a book to your address, or two of them, sorry, that will help you get going with God. They'll help you walk in dominion, walk in faith. The things that you need to get going, these books will give them to you. And I just want to give it to you to bless you because it's important to have good revelation whenever you're getting started as a child of God. Now, I'm going to pray for everybody that wanted that prayer. And when I pray for you, the Spirit is going to help you step into this flow of humility. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would pour out the Spirit of humility upon everybody that's watching right now. Anything in their flesh that's making it hard for them to submit to you or hard to humble themselves before you, I ask that the spirit of humility would come upon them and strengthen their spirit to humble themselves before God. God, let them humble themselves to the proper level in the sight of you. The level where the unending promotion of your Spirit would hit their life like wind in their sails to take them to a whole nother dimension. In the mighty name of Jesus, pour out the Spirit upon them. And reveal to them any area in their life that was causing you to resist them. Causing them to not be positioned for promotion. In the mighty name of Jesus, I loose that upon them right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for hopping on. I hope this helped you. I'm not going to take an offering tonight, but I thank you to everybody, or I want to thank everybody that partners with the ministry. We're doing a bunch of things this year. I went to Argentina for 3 days back in February, and the power of God showed up on during those three meetings. And we're starting things at UTA. We're starting a student organization, and we're about to do a crusade at UTA. And then also we're looking to do a crusade in Africa, in Ghana, in November. And I'd like to do more, another one or two crusades, college campus crusades, in the fall. So we're thankful to everybody that partners, and we're going to have opportunities in the future for you to partner with soul winning, for you to either actually join a soul winning team on a college campus if you want to, but also to partner your finances with the kingdom of God and to receive the blessing that comes with that. And so we love everybody that joins in on these videos, and we're thankful, and we hope that they bless you. But we're excited for the opportunities that are ahead with what God is doing. So thank you for everybody that partners with this ministry. And I believe, God, that whenever you partner with the ministry, that not only are you partnering with winning souls and just funding the kingdom of God, but that the grace of God that's on this ministry is flowing into your life. Any minister that's more blessed than the people that are in his ministry is like a fake and a phony minister, honestly. If you the whole goal of receiving offerings is that the people that give into your ministry are more blessed than you. So that's the heart that we have for everybody that watches this. But if you do have it on your heart to partner with us, then go to our website, thevictorylifeministries.com, and there's a place for you to be able to give if you want to give into crusades. We're believing, God, that there are going to be people that fund entire crusades this year. College crusades are like $15,000 pretty much. And then crusades in like Nigeria are like, and Ghana and overseas are like $35,000-$40,000. So not that much money for people that have a business or for many people. So if you have it in your heart to partner with us, then we would love for you to have you partner. But I love you. I thank you very much for hopping on. I hope this blessed you. I'll be on again later this week, and looking forward to preaching to you then. But be blessed. Have a good night. I love you. I'll see you soon. Have a good night.